Hey there, I'm Lee Rowley, and this is Lee After Dark. Why? Because there's more to being a business leader than just business. Each episode, one brave entrepreneur ejects the elevator pitch and just gets real. Today, I'd like to welcome David Chislett. David, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Lee. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Do you go by David or Dave? I forgot to ask. Or does it matter?
I choose to go by David, but I'm not offended if you choose to call me Dave.
David's fine. We're all about making people happy here, bringing joy to the world, one bow tie at a time and all that nonsense. So, okay. Well, listen, the rules are simple. For the next 20 minutes, we can talk about anything you want but your business.
Right.
And then after that, you got 5 minutes to pitch up a storm.
Okay.
Now, if we talk about your business, we mess up and slip up. We'll do a 1 minute demerit right at the end of the pitch time, just to keep everybody honest. But other than that, it's pretty much a free for all. You ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Rock on. All right. Let's set the timer. And all right. What do you want to get into for the next 20 minutes?
Well, I think what's really interesting, although it's dangerously close to forbidden subjects, is this idea of the myths around being creative.
Okay.
How many people just seem to think that because they're not Leonardo da Vinci, they have no right to call themselves creative.
Okay. Okay. This is a huge topic, and my audience is filled with creatives, and a lot of them are entrepreneurs, or at the beginning stages of trying to figure out what to do with that creativity, right? So as far as the rules, my rules, I can rip them up if I want. So it's totally arbitrary, and they're pretty loosey goosey. So don't worry about that. Right. So creativity is available to everybody. Is that what you're telling me? Or is it intrinsic to everyone, right?
Yeah. In fact, I tend to talk about it as being a capacity rather than a skill or a talent. So I think the big difference between like somebody who has a job where they have to go to work every day and solve problems for people, like someone working on a help desk, you get calls in, they're exercising actually the same muscle that someone like Leonardo da Vinci did when he was inventing the helicopter and painting the Mona Lisa. The difference is the mechanical skill set that gets driven through that capacity.
Okay, so let's break that down for the layman here. What exactly does that mean in your day-to-day life?
Well, it means that in your day-to-day life, as a human being, you're constantly challenged with situations where you have a piece of information here, a piece of information here, but you need to go over there. And there is no clear pre-existing route, so you have to make one. You have to make a decision. You have to solve a problem. You have to join the dots and go, oh, hey, hang on a second. There's this option over here. And to do that, actually, what happens in your brain, according to the MRI scans and the neural research that's been done, is exactly the same thing that somebody like T.S. Eliot would have done when he was coming up with his poetry. Same areas of the brain lights up, same functionality kicks in.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So how do we get to that? Because I'm envisioning, and I know people who fit this profile, people who, if you hand them a process and you walk them through the process, bounce the red ball. Okay. You know, and you can teach them, if you see a red ball, pick it up and bounce it, but then you hand them a blue ball and they freak.
Yeah.
You know, and so for somebody like that to say, okay, you have creativity available to you that you're not tapping into, they're probably going, bullshit.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that?
Well, look, I think just because you have the capacity doesn't mean to say that you are in a position to exercise it, that you have an experience exercising it, or possibly even any desire to exercise it. Because one of the things about creativity is that it requires you to deal with stuff that you know nothing about. So somebody who's going to freak out because there's a blue ball probably doesn't really like stepping outside of their box.
Okay.
So, but that doesn't mean to say they can't. They just don't want it. And that's fine as well. I mean, I don't have an issue with that. If you want to stay in the box, stay in the box.
The thing is, though, is that the people like that sometimes tend to be drawn to creatives like, you know, you or I, and they're saying, okay, well, how do I get that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the interesting thing, because then you're just like, okay, well, how do you see the sun come up?
Yeah. You've got to let go. You've got to release your assumptions and this idea that it's so important that you know absolutely everything. I mean, perfectionists, for example, quite often struggle to be, you know, to let stuff go in the same way that people who really, really identify with rules and roles struggle to let things go. The thing is, though, that if you don't let stuff go, you never discover anything new. And where creativity happens is at the border between what we know and what we don't know.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What does that mean?
Well, what that means is that you know, we're constantly navigating new paths between pre-existing data sets, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
And that if you stick to the pattern, if you do the same thing you did yesterday, because that's what we've always done and that's always brought us X result, you're not going to be able to create anything new. You've got to step outside of that loop. I mean, that's what old Einstein's supposed definition of madness is all about, right? Doing the same thing over and over every day and expecting a different result is insanity. So if you want a different result, you got to act different.
Right, right. It seems to me that there's you have to cultivate an ability to accept incremental change as well. There's this, like, I know so many people who have this idea that they're going to have this, like, breakthrough, this epiphany, this la, and the, you know, the hallelujah and the choruses and the whole thing, and then everything just falls into place. And it just, I don't know if it's worked, if it was ever that way for you. For me, I tend to have these little micro epiphanies that, like, just incrementally free me from that version of me that I still think I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I think, well, actually, I don't know if it's even really important whether it's a huge flash of light or it's incremental.
Okay.
What is important, though, is that the way it's portrayed to us in society is that it's a huge flash of light, that it's a genius moment, that the muse comes down from on high and taps you on the head and it's, whoa!
Right, sure.
And therefore, incremental change, slow process and piecing the dots together until you end up very far from where you started, isn't kind of really accepted as being true creativity. It's just not dramatic enough. It's not rock and roll, romantic, magical enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's just the scale is the difference.
Yeah, that's true. And not that those epiphanies don't happen, and usually at the most inappropriate times. But once you freed that creativity, they can just, you know, it's 3 a.m. You know, that's how it is for me. I'll wake up 2:33 in the morning and boom, there it goes.
But that's not unique either, you know, because you've stepped away from your focus point. You've stepped away from your routine and you have allowed your subconscious to continue dealing with whatever it was you're thinking about. No one has good ideas when they're strapped to their monitor. You know, you can do good work. You can run your path. But those moments, even the small moments of epiphany, tend to happen in the shower at 3 a.m. in the morning, when you're walking the dog, when you're doing anything that the mechanics of which is pretty much automated. Then unexpectedly, these bang moments happen.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, my clients sometimes look at me, I guess I got to give myself a demerit there. But you know, they look at me strangely sometimes when we're talking about a concept and I say, okay, that's going to take a couple walks in the woods to figure out. And they're like, well, what do you mean by that? And I'm like, I'm paying you to go walk around in the woods. What? You know? Yes, you are. Believe it or not, you are. Works with all sorts of creative disciplines. You're right. It's just, when you're in the grind, and it can be the hardest thing in the world to do, to pull yourself away from whatever it is you want to accomplish and go, you know what? I just need to let it simmer, you know, to find, what is the old Zen saying is that you can't see through muddy water, let it settle. Something like, you know, it was, you know, that's that sort of thing of letting the sediment settle so that you can actually see clearly.
That's a huge part of it. But there's also something else going on, which is where, you know, our rational mind works according to a fairly well-defined structure, logic, and so on. So when you are focused, consciously looking at a problem and applying everything you know and your skill set to solving it, you're bringing rationality to the situation. But your unconscious mind is a little wilder than that, and it's got this crazy habit of jamming stuff together that has no business being together in the same room.
Mm.
And that happens actually quite slowly, sort of tinkering away in the background.
Mm.
And most often, those eureka moments, even if they're, you know, like not the famous eureka moment, but just like a fairly small realization, will come after a period that your unconscious mind has been slowly chewing away at something. And then you finally stop being focused enough on the rational stuff to actually notice this little voice going, I got it. When you wake up in the morning, quite often you'll have the answer to a problem that you were stewing over when you went to bed that night for exactly this reason.
Mm, exactly right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I always dive into this, and I want to know what happened, what made creativity, this whole torch that you're carrying, so important to you.
Wow, I think I have been involved with doing creative stuff since I was very young. I'm the youngest of five children, so I spent a lot of time on my own, a lot younger than my older siblings.
Okay.
And as a result, I think, you know, books, because it was it was kind of before TV where I grew up. So the fantasy world became very much a big part of my reality. And, when I was in junior school, somewhere along the line, I discovered that I could also string words together. And so my experience as a working adult has always been in some form of a kind of creative / entertainment industry.
Okay.
And then I began to realize that, hey, hang on a second, this stuff is not just about the arts. This is actually what successful entrepreneurs and inventors do as well. It's the same process. It's just dressed up in different clothes.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. And that's quite a realization, because, I see so many people in the arts who are just, okay, I'm doomed to be poor if I want to do what I want to do. And, it took me over a decade to parlay what I could do creatively into something that, made sense financially. But, those pathways are there. And especially now with, I didn't grow up in the age of the internet. When I was a senior in college, I just heard about this thing called the internet. And it was basically, we were chatting with some guy in Bangladesh, on this screen that looked like a complete DOS old school, blue screen at death sort of thing. But so that's how I remember, but today the people who are where I was back then, and I'm looking at all the opportunities they have to define what they do creatively and package it and make a living about it from it and not feel bad about it.
Yeah. I don't think that's a coincidence. Everyone talks a lot about machine learning and AI and how it's going to take all of our jobs. And I'm like, well, yeah, technology has been taking our jobs for 200 years, but we've always got better jobs as a result. And what you just said is a classic example of that. Young people today on the internet are doing work that you and I would like, what? That's a job when we were at university. It's changed. It's changing, So I think sometimes people are getting really overexcited about completely the wrong stuff. Forget the robots, forget AI. Sure, it's going to take a lot of work, but it's going to set us free to do a whole bunch of way more exciting stuff.
Right, exactly. that always springs to mind when I hear people talk about, people are going to lose opportunities because of automation, da-da-da-da. Well, no, because there are always new opportunities to replace that.
Yeah.
At one time, there was a very big need for people who could make flint arrowheads, and blacksmithing, smithers and other things that, weren't thought of 100 years before that. It's just going to keep evolving. And, I think that's an important thing for anybody who's going to be an entrepreneur now, is just that you have to stay fluid.
Yeah, I mean, especially now, because the transition from flint to metal arrowheads took a long time. Now we're in a situation where today's hot tech is yesterday's junkie. It's going so fast that if you're not mentally flexible, you're screwed.
Right. Okay. Well, we got a couple minutes left in this part, and I want to make sure, because I'm quite sure you wore this this T-shirt intentionally, and asked me about my T-shirt, and so I'll bite. What's up with the T-shirt?
Yeah, I mean, I like making T-shirts. It's just one of the stupid things I do on the side.
Oh, nice.
So this one is my E=MC². I thought that actually it's such a cool thing. I thought, let me see if I can make something up around creativity. So one of my little things is that the whole thing about creativity is that it actually sets you free, because it means you don't have to accept whatever's being presented to you. You can make your own options. So the equation is freedom equals creativity times the sum of options and choices. The idea being that we can really only ever be free if we're applying our innate creative capacity to generate options and to make choices, as opposed to going by product A or product B.
I love
it. Which isn't really a choice.
I love it. Jeff, make sure make sure this equation goes in the show notes, okay? Because this is good stuff, right? Cool. This is excellent. So see, we make sure that we do our show notes every time for our guests, so that we can put in their links and things like that, and hopefully give back to them a little bit for spending time with us. So, any final thoughts on this part of things before we get into the business end of it?
I think, for me, the thing that kind of got me going was the amount of resistance there is to this idea of creativity. So many people just it kind of freaks them out. It's just no, as if I'm trying to tell them, by telling you that you're creative, I'm telling you that you're not who you thought you were. And it's so weird that weirdly enough, it's become one of my motivating factors for carrying on digging deeper into the subject.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I had a friend who loved to talk about the servants. We're carving out of a block of marble. Okay, so we're going back to Da Vinci here. We're carving out of a block of marble and freeing the image inside.
Yeah,
from everything that's not it. And I have a friend who has a whole big story about that I've long since mangled in my head. But that idea has always stuck with me of just it's not, this isn't who you are, but this is what's inside all these layers of rules and, shoulds and guilt and all these crazy things that we've been taught that we need, these games we've been taught we need to play with ourselves.
Yeah. I buy that. Yeah, absolutely.
And at the core of that is something amazing. And I truly believe that about everyone, and a lot of it comes from our past, what we've been through. And a lot of it comes with what we do with what we've been through.
Yeah, I think that's such a tricky one because, we're very much taught to identify with what we've been through as if what you've done is what you are, as opposed to just something you've experienced. And so that gets knit into a narrative that becomes an identity, which then becomes a set of habits that dictates how we behave, which becomes our personality. But it all goes back to a story about what we've done and what that means about who we are. And if it's a story, that means you can change it. But that means you have to give up this idea of who you are. And that's what scares the shit out of us.
I completely understand that. Yeah, that's, having been through something like that process myself, I know what that's like to know what finally figure out what you're actually capable of and go, oh, well, God, now I gotta pony up, right?
Right, now I gotta change.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, okay, well, look, you have successfully completed the Lee After Dark 20-minute not talking about your business challenge, as far as anyone knows. On the record, right?
I didn't mention the word business, but if
whatever. So I wanted to make sure, being a man of my word, I want to make sure to give you 5 minutes to talk about how people can talk with you, your business, anything that you want to talk about on that end. The floor is yours, my friend.
Thanks very much. Okay, so my business is that I am a creativity activator. So what that means is that I help people unlock this capacity and learn the actual habits and the skills and the routines that will allow you to routinely come up with better ideas, to solve problems, and, just generally to be a little bit more flexible and adaptable in life. I do that through workshops, through one-on-one consultations, and through coaching. And I've got a whole bunch of tools that I share with people. You can find me on the wonderful World Wide Web. Very simple. My site is davidchislett.com. And there's a great contact form there. I've got a newsletter that you can sign up for. And at the moment, I'm actually, I read something on Medium which really hit me. If you sign up for my newsletter now, you get free stuff, like a really nice personal advice thing, which for some reason I'd never thought of doing before I read the article on Medium, so it was quite cool. Huh. If you are stuck with anything, I use creativity to help people get unstuck. So hit me up, join the newsletter, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Sounds fantastic. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts?
Well, final thoughts. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just love this kind of thing. I've been very interested in podcasts recently. I thought I was too old for podcasts. You know, all the cool kids are into it. There's okay. Really cool stuff out there, man. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, well, there's room for us old farts, too.
Apparently.
Yeah. I said, yeah, we're claiming it. It's just creativity. You know, we're doing it.
Yeah,
that's right. Cool. All righty. Well, we are out of time, but if you found Lee After Dark more entertaining and relevant than most of the drac out there, then subscribe to the Lee After Dark YouTube channel. And now get Lee After Dark in your pants. We're on Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and who the heck knows where else, so you can enjoy us wherever you stick your phone. Until next time, this is Lee Rowley with my new friend, David Chislett. Be present and be well.